It is good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen. I'd like you to listen to this passages of Scripture. See if you can find what each has in common. Why hast thou then broken down her hedges, so that all that which pass by the way do pluck her? Thou hast broken down all his hedges. Thou hast brought his strongholds to ruin. He that diggeth a pit shall fall into it, and whoso breaketh an hedge, a serpent shall bite him. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Therefore, behold, I will hedge up thy way with thorns and make a wall that she shall not find her path. In Psalm 80, the psalmist asked God, why hast thou broken down her hedges? Family and friends, it's important for our understanding this morning to know that God had put hedges around the nation Israel. And the psalmist asked because it seems that God had removed his hedge. And then the verse says, why hast thou taken down her hedges so that all which pass by the way do pluck her? And the psalmist goes on, the boar, that is the wild hog of the wood, doth waste it. Waste what? God's chosen people, his chosen nation, Israel. God took down the hedge. Now I want you to understand something this morning. America is not Israel. But America became a great nation because she was founded upon the principles of the Word of God. America was sown, brought forth from the womb, based and built on the Holy Word of Almighty God. And the result has been that God has blessed America abundantly more for over 240 years now than we could ever ask, think, or hope. But I fear that our nation is sick unto death. And we are in a moral free fall. And soon we are going to hit bottom, and there is going to be no repair. If something is not done soon, America will become a molded crust in history's garbage can. Pictures like what is on our screen this morning should awaken us to the fact that we are a nation that is in great national despair. You know, they say a picture is worth a thousand words. And I believe a picture like this should awaken every born-again believer and every stir within every God-fearing American, righteous indignation and a holy, righteous, godly anger. What is the despair of our nation? It is spiritual sterility. Understand, America is not a nation that doesn't pray. Many in America are praying. Many in the church pray. The problem is not prayer. The problem is spiritual sterility. People are praying, but God is not answering prayer. Contrarywise, not only is God not answering prayer, but the prayer of the people is also making God angry. Did you know that the prayer of an unrepentant people is an insult to Almighty God? Religion without righteousness is repugnant to God. America is praying. Every year we hold a national day of prayer in this nation. And yet the cesspools of sin and iniquity are full and running over, and God is angry at the prayers of his people. We spend 6 days a week sowing wild oats and then come on Sunday to pray for crop failure. That's what's been happening in America for far too long. So much of our praying is, God, help us to have a good day. Oh, God, just bless me in what I'm doing. I know I'm not living out according to your word, but Lord, remember I prayed that prayer. So, oh Lord, just bless me. So much of our prayer is me focused. Help me, bless me. That's been the attitude of a stiff-necked, arrogant nation. Is it any wonder that America is writhing in distress, divided as never before? Now you may be wondering, how did we get here? I can assure you that it is not because we have become a woke nation, as Washington would have us to believe. The answer is found in God's holy word, Romans chapter 1. You can be turning there now if you're not there already. Now there's something I need to share with you this morning. Contrary to what is going to happen in many other churches this morning, in this church you can rest assured you will hear the word of God. And then you're going to have to do something this morning with what you hear. And it is not because I am going to be sitting in judgment or I am going to ask you. It will be because God is going to judge you by what you do with what you hear. You see, God says his word never goes out void. It goes out for a reason. It is intended to accomplish a purpose in your heart and in my heart. The church isn't going to judge you. The church isn't your judge or your jury. The word of God is your judge. Almighty God is judge alone. Amen. Now I keep reminding you, for some like me, that finish line is getting closer all the time. If somebody say Coy's age, he thinks, what's that old preacher talking about? I got a lot of years to live. Well, friend, you don't know how long you got to live, do you, Brother Brandon? You got no idea how many days you have left here on this earth. And so I keep telling you all the time, and I said, you probably get sick of hearing it. One day soon, you're going to stand front and center with Almighty God. You're going to be face to face, and you're going to have to give an account of what you did with your life, what you did with what you heard. Now, I want to remind you, the Bible says this, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. In Romans 1, be finding verse 18, and please rise as we honor the Lord with the reading of his word. Romans 1, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without what, church? Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like the corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do them, but have pleasure in them that do them. Would you bow your heads with me? Heavenly Father, we come before you today to ask your forgiveness and to seek your direction and your guidance. We know your word says, woe unto those that call evil good, but that's exactly what we have done in America. We have lost our spiritual equilibrium. We have inverted our own values. We confess that we have ridiculed the absolute truth of your word and called it pluralism in this nation. We have worshipped other gods, and we call it multiculturalism in this nation. We have endorsed perversion, transgenderism, and we call it an alternative lifestyle. We have exploited the poor and called it the lottery. We have neglected the needy, all in the name of self-preservation. We have rewarded laziness by calling it welfare. We have killed the unborn, calling it choice. We have shot abortionists, calling it justifiable. We have neglected to discipline our children, and we've called it building self-esteem. We have abused power, and we call it political savvy. We have coveted our neighbor's possessions, calling it ambition. We have polluted the air with profanity and pornography, and we call it freedom of expression. We have ridiculed the time-honored values that you teach in your word. We have replaced theology with a new doctrine called meology. It is all about me. I am my own God. God help us this morning. Father, I ask that you would search our hearts, that you would know us, and Father, that you would cleanse us from every sin in our individual lives and in this nation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The answer to the question, how did we get here? Have you ever wondered it? How did we get here? What has happened to America? Well, it isn't all that complicated. You see, God tells us how we got here. Now, you keep your Bible open this morning so you can follow along. You hold me accountable to teaching you from the Word of God. So you need to have that Bible open. You get a pen out. You need to write a note down. The wrath of God, the Bible tells us. Verse 18, the wrath of God is revealed from where? Heaven. Let me stop for just a moment, because I do want to address the foolish people who believe God is love, and therefore God will never punish. Can I ask you this morning, what do you see when you look at the cross behind me? Knowing that Jesus Christ had to die on that cross, do you not understand why Jesus Christ had to die on Calvary's cross? Are you so blind that you cannot see that the cross speaks both of God's love and of God's judgment? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. What was behind God giving His Son to Calvary's cross? Was it not to pay the penalty for our sins? I would tell you something. If you were to ask me the question, Pastor, who hung Jesus on the cross? I did. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and you're part of that all. But the gift of God was eternal life in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Understand that God in heaven took His only begotten Son, and He put Him on Calvary's cross, and He shed His blood so that you and I could have a way not to suffer the wrath of God. Oh, when you repent, you're washed in the blood. Amen. So understand this. God is a God of love, amen, but God is also a God of justice, and both are part of His character. And I can tell you this, that Jesus Christ did not die on Calvary's cross so that you could pray a pretty little prayer and then go on out there and live as unholy as you were before you ever prayed that prayer. Listen, Jesus did not die on Calvary's cross so we could go on sinning. Jesus died to save us from our sins. And God's wrath was poured out on His Son so that by repentance and faith we would not have to face the wrath of God. And so for those who say God is love and He will never punish, I say to you, you can never separate God's love from God's wrath, because both are character traits of a holy, righteous God. And so the Bible tells us that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven because of the ungodliness and the unrighteousness of men. Men like those pictured on the screen who hold God's truth in unrighteousness. Now look with me at verse 20. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without what? Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became what? This is the devolution of America that is being described right here. You see, if you were to ask, where are we in America today? The answer is, Right here. We are where we are as a nation because we have turned the truth of God into a lie. We have turned our backs on Almighty God. Oh, we've done it in so many ways. We took prayer out of school. We took the Ten Commandments down. We got rid of the Sunday blue laws. We told God, you don't know what you're talking about when it comes to marriage. You don't even know what you're talking about when it comes to sex. You see, you created two, we're going to create so many more. We have an idiotic president who stand up and tell people to let anybody marry whoever they want. Hey, marry whoever you love. Ungodliness reigns. When you turn the truth of God into a lie, do you realize who it is you are truly worshiping and who you are truly serving? None other than yourself. We are living in an age of meology. All about me. The I is a big problem today. I sits in the middle of sin. I sits in the middle of pride. Why, we've got our iPhones, we've got our iPads, we've got our I this, and we've got our I that, don't we? Everything is about me. Me, me, me. Is it any wonder we're in a moral free fall? Look with me at verse 24. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. I want you to note here in verse 24, this is the first of three God gave them up statements. What did God give them up to? Uncleanness. Through the lust of their own heart. To dishonor their bodies between themselves. The second God gave them up statement is found in verse 26. For this cause God gave them up unto what? For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust, one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meat. And God gave them up unto vile affections. How sad, the president of this nation is doing and making into law exactly what God promises He will give a nation up for. When God gives you up, friend, what hope do you have? God is reminding us this morning that sorrow follows sin as sure as night follows day. God's word states, and when the wicked bear rule, the people mourn. Every genuine believer in Jesus Christ ought to be mourning over the truth that we have a wicked president who is supported by wicked politicians, and we who have done nothing more than drag us down into a quagmire of heartache and division. But I want you to remember this. Every nation gets the government it deserves. And so it should not surprise us here in America that we've got the government we deserve. And knowing this makes me wonder if oceans of tears, rivers of blood, and seas of sweat will be the price that America must pay. You might be wondering, well, how can you say such a thing, Pastor? Because the Bible says it, friend. Remember, I said at the beginning, in this church you will hear the Word of God. We come to the third God gave them up statement with a twist. Verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not what? God gave them up. God gave them up. And then God gave them over. What do you give them over to? A reprobate mind. Do you know that a reprobate mind can make one believe they can go on sinning and still be saved. When I say go on sinning, I mean by that exactly what the Word of God means by that, a lifestyle of the continual daily practice of sin. Just as if Jesus never came and Jesus never died. Sins that God says in His holy Word that are absolutely wrong, and they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of heaven. So God's wrath has been revealed, and the Bible says we are without excuse. Professing ourselves to be wise, we have become fools, and our foolish heart has become darkened. And now we arrive at the courtroom of God. I want you to note here in Romans that God has, verse 29, God has a 23-count indictment. An indictment is to be charged with a crime. It means you are going to go to court, you are going to trial, and you are going to be judged, and a verdict will be rendered. If you find yourself presently living in this list of sins, you need to ask yourself this question: how are you going to survive the wrath of God? Now, I've said this many times before. God ain't playing. We playing. We think we can tell God what to do, but God is so much greater than us. We think we can make an excuse, justify any sin. If you're living in any one of these sins right now, that they're a part of your life, how are you going to survive the wrath of God? You're not. Unless you repent. If you do not repent, you have no hope. Let me remind you again of what the Bible teaches. Matthew chapter 7, Jesus is teaching here, and He says, "Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Now, sadly, in this age in which we're living of secular humanism, many of today's churches want to preach a broad way into heaven. Just go out and do the best you can. Just go out and do the best you can. Friend, doing the best we can is how we ended up as sinners in the first place. We need a Savior. And so doing the best we can isn't going to help us. Many who sit in churches just like ours claim they're saved, yet continually practice the works of the broad way. In other words, they've embraced it. They've made provision for their flesh, provision for their lust, provision for this, provision for that. They say, this is more important to me than doing what God says. And it is for this reason that Jesus plainly said to all who will have an ear to hear, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Now, friend, don't miss the warning of Scripture. Don't miss the teaching of God. Don't sit there rigid, stiff-necked, arrogant, prideful, or even thinking that you can get by with sin and get away with it. You see, America believes that she can flaunt her national sins and get away with it. And the living picture of our great national despair and spiritual sterility is none other than the president himself. His very physical presence lets us know how weak this nation is. We are tottering on the brink of destruction. You see, if God was not going to judge these great sins, then God owes an apology to Sodom and Gomorrah. If God is not going to judge sin, then when you look up here at the cross, putting His Son on the cross of Calvary was the cruelest act in all of history. But God is going to judge. And if you are engaged or embracing or thinking you can get by with any of these sins, do you know what it is that you are not doing? The will of God. The will of God. Jesus said, many are going to come. They're going to cry out, Lord, Lord, I'm going to say, away from me. I never knew you. You see, this is what it says in the Bible, Matthew 7, 22 and 23. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. God did not bless America. With the giving of His Word and the amazing grace that we receive in Jesus Christ, so that we could replace theology with meology, so that we could just disregard the Bible and live any old way we please. God did not bless America where people could say, God doesn't matter anymore. Doesn't matter what God says. I'm going to do what I want. It's all about me. God sent a Savior. He died on Calvary's cross. He shed His blood in order that you and I could be made whole. He gave the highest price so that you and I would not have to face the wrath of Almighty God. And He gave us a helper in the Holy Spirit so that we don't try to do this Christian life or live this Christian life in our own strength. When God gives us a commandment, He comes alongside to help us do the commandment because He knows we can't do it by ourselves. So in the love of God, He's given us a Holy Spirit to help us, guide us, lead us, teach us so that we always have the Holy Spirit with us. And we're warned not to grieve or quench the work of the Spirit in us by falling back into sin, living like a sinner, treading under our sinful feet the very blood and cross and body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you really think God's going to accept the excuse of everybody doing it? So we did too. God's put a hedge around America. America has been a blessed nation, blessed beyond measure. But I'm afraid that the hedge is being taken away. Have you ever thought about the doctrine of the hedges? Do you remember the story of Job in the Bible? The devil could hardly wait to get his hands on Job. He's saying to God, to Job, the only reason Job serves you is because you have petted him, you have prospered him, you have protected him. I cannot get to him. You better hedge around him. And every time I try to get to Job, there's that hedge. And I can't get to him. Take that hedge down. You find this in Job chapter 1, beginning at about verse 9. Then Satan answered the Lord and says, did Job fear God for naught? Hast thou not made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? You see, friends, there is the doctrine of the hedges. Now what God had done for Job, God had also done for Israel. And the prophet Isaiah is prophesying what God said, and God is speaking to Israel now, and this is what God said: "Now will I sing to my well-beloved the song of my beloved, touching his vineyard. My well-beloved hath a vineyard in a very fruitful hill, and he fenced it and gathered out the stones thereof, and planted it with the choicest vine, and built a tower in the midst of it, also made a winepress therein. And he looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge, I pray you, betwixt me and my vineyard, what could have been done more to my vineyard than I have not done in it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, brought it forth wild grapes, and now go to, I tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away the hedge thereof, and it shall be eaten up, and break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down." God said to Israel, "Look, I founded this nation. I protected this nation. I put a hedge around this nation. And I was expecting that it would bring forth grapes, good grapes. But it brought forth wild grapes. Now I'm taking down that hedge." You know, it's hard to build a dam when you're floating downstream, isn't it? In this church and in this nation, I believe Almighty God is teaching us that we need to look up. We need to get on our knees. We need to confess up. We need to speak up. And by golly, it's time for God's people to stand up and say, enough. Enough is enough is enough. We need God to bless America again. And it is time to call upon Almighty God by repenting of our sins, our individual sins, our national sins. And unless we do so, do you realize we are in grave danger here in America? You study the Bible. Every nation that went against God, God removed it. It is time to cry out to God in prayer. It is time. Ask God to take this nation back. It's time for God to get to work in America again. It's time for all Americans to return to the Word of God. It's time for Christians to call upon our Lord and ask Jesus Christ to forgive us of our sins and to forgive us of our national sins. And oh Lord God, will you come and will you revive America one more time? And if not now, when? If not now, when? Do you realize we're in a crisis hour? If this junk continues to go on, all we've become is another Sodom and Gomorrah. And therefore, we should not be surprised that God will do what His Word says and give America up. And give America over to a reprobate mind, because that's exactly what's happening in this nation today. This is where we are. This is how we've arrived here. We're in the courtroom of God as a nation. We've lost our way as a nation, because we have rejected Almighty God. And so I pray that you'll begin right now to repent and ask God to forgive you and forgive our nation. We are sinners by birth, by choice, and by practice. And far too many people today arrogantly believe they can practice sin, live in sin, and believe that God is somehow going to hear their prayers and bless those sin-filled lives. It is not going to happen. The Word of God teaches how wrong you are if that's what you believe. It will not happen. And one day when you're going through some circumstances, you're facing the judgment of God, you're wondering why this is happening to poor little me, you'll remember the words that I shared with you this morning. You practice in sin, and God cannot bless sin, never has, never will. He is a holy, righteous God. And if you say that you are a child of His, you are to walk in holiness. The Bible teaches that without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Hebrews 12:14. There is no excuse for the unholiness that goes on in far too many individual lives, but most especially in this nation's lives. The only hope we have is if we repent and turn from our sin and get our hearts right with God. Do you realize today you stand at the crossroads of life and death? If you refuse to repent, you're going to be judged according to your works, and the sentence is going to be death and eternity in hell. On the other hand, there's life. Life everlasting. Life eternal. The abundant life in the here and now. So I ask you, what are you going to choose? You see, God's not going to force you. God has given you free will. God's given you an opportunity to make your own choice. So I ask you, who are you going to please? Perhaps you're here this morning, you've put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, but you know from the message that's been preached, you're a sinner, you're on your way to hell, you've got no hope right now. Well, praise God, there is hope, and His name is Jesus, and He's alive, and He's well, He's risen, He stands ready to receive you. He'll forgive you of any sin you've ever committed. And if you're a Christian who's gone off into a far country like that dumb prodigal son did, it's time to return home. It's time to say, I'm going back to my daddy's house. I'm going to get my heart right with my daddy. I want to live to please my daddy because I want my daddy to be pleased with me. I want daddy to receive me, to bless me, and to accept me. God forbid you should be so hard-hearted, so stiff-necked, and so arrogant that you believe one day you're going to show up at heaven's gate and say, here I am. And here all you've ever done is live a life of sin. But you prayed that pretty little prayer someone told you to pray a long time ago. You thought, that's it. That's all I got to do. No. You got to repent. You got to get your heart right. You got to die to yourself so that you can live for Him. And this morning, we need to repent as a nation. You may need to repent as an individual. But I'll tell you what, today is the day that we need to start revival, and it can start right here. Today is the day we can leave Green Valley Baptist Church knowing that we confessed our sin and knowing that we have Him to help us stand up and speak up in this world of sin. Amen. Father, we thank You for Your word to us today. And oh Lord, that doctrine of the hedges is oh so true. Lord, maybe for our individual lives that hedge has been torn down because, Father, we've gotten off into a far country. We've been walking in sin. And oh Lord, as David prayed, search my heart, oh God. May we do that right now today. Search our hearts, oh God. And see if there be any wicked way in us. And then lead us in that way everlasting. And Lord, if there's someone here today who doesn't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, but they want one, may they begin to pray right now. Dear Jesus, come into my heart. Oh, Lord, I'm a sinner by birth, by practice, and by choice, but You died on the cross to save me of my sins, and I want You to be my Lord and be my Savior. Jesus, come into my heart today and save me.